like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo, like a rhinestone cowboy, getting cards and letters from people I don't even know, and offers coming over.
Back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Text line, you want to be in touch with the program, you know what to do, 251-343-0106. That's all you got to do. Text me, and we'll respond to whatever it is that's on your mind. She'll come on the program about an hour from now. Dale Jackson, my radio, one of my radio brethren from WVNN up in Huntsville, also of Yellowhammer News. And in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll get John Merrill, former Secretary of State, now a candidate for Alabama Republican Party chairman. We'll hear from him as well. But joining us now, he's on the show from time to time, always appreciative of his time, that he's a lawmaker from Etowah County. State Representative Mac Butler is with us. Representative, how are you? Hold on, Representative, have I got you now? We may have to reconnect here with Representative Butler, having some technical difficulties. 251-343-0106, if you want to be in touch with the program. Hit us up there. Let's see if we could try this again with Representative Butler. I got to give this a shot. Let's see here. Boop, boop, boop. Live radio. Representative, we got you now. We're trying. Representative, we got you now.
Awesome. Great to be with you, sir.
Hey, thank you. Yeah. I don't know what happened there. The just wasn't connecting. But we'll get started. How are things going this session? It was supposed to be a slow session this year.
Typically on election years, that is the case. Yeah. They're usually non-controversial and a little expedited, just a little bit.
Yeah, expedited, and I know 4 years ago it was still kind of like catch up from COVID, and then maybe even the 4 years before that, not so much. It was a little tamer, but here we are, 8 years later. Let's start with this, and we know about this Public Service Commission, saga kind of came out of nowhere, and you have a counter proposal, at least. Let's start with that. Tell us a little bit about what you want to do, requiring, annual rate meetings, and go from there.
Yes, sir. Yep. The other one did catch us off guard. And, the people we work for, the people of the state, have made it crystal clear, at least in my district, that they were opposed to the legislation that was being presented. And my thought was, the Public Service Commission is supposed to look out for the people, not the utilities. And so my thought was that is not happening. And we have not had a rate hearing since 1982, 44 years. They have not had a rate hearing. So we would simply compel them to do such each year, at least one. They can do more. And they have to notify the public and include public participation. They have to talk about, even competitiveness with other states, because we're paying the highest in the region, I believe third highest in the nation. I think we're about 40% higher than TVA. So something's wrong. Something's broken. At the same time, I know Alabama Power is reporting record profits. So anyway, this would compel them to hold the meetings, or they would face impeachment. This piece of legislation, as it is right now, doesn't change anything with the elections. The people would still choose their public service commissioners. The legislature would just force them to do their job. And it also does something kind of unique. It would not allow them to use lobbying costs, their advertising costs. I don't understand why monopolies advertise. And I hear from a lot of people that with frustration is when the power company shows up passing out grants all over the state, that it would not allow them to include that in the rate determination hearings as well. We're all for them doing those things, but they need to do that out of their record profits. And you know, clearly something is wrong. You know, as a lawmaker, part of my job is to make our state attractive for industrial recruitment, recruiting businesses. One of the things these industries look at is, you know, the cost of energy. And when you're looking at the highest in the region, do you think they're going to come looking for us? You know, we need to have a competitive edge, and that for whatever reason, the Public Service Commission has not been doing their job for 44 years.
Well, and so I hear, you know, like a couple of questions, and you may not be able to answer these, but I think a lot of people just assumed that they did, you know, they had formal deliberations of some sort with these rate hikes, and they don't. Well, what, as far as utilities go, I mean, what does the Public Service Commission even do in 2026?
Well, it appears that they have been working for the utilities and not on behalf of the people. And that is my job, you know, is to work on behalf of the people. But this piece of legislation, it's a simple bill, HB 475. You can easily look it up on Allison and see it's a simple bill, but it will compel them. And if they do not do the job, if they don't have the rate hearings and go through the public participation and even advertise it, they would face impeachment. So I think it's going to be a game changer, and it's kind of sad that, you know, we're having to force people to do their job, but the rate determinations have got to come back to the forefront and let we the people watch what is, you know, what's the sausage being made, to see how they are coming up with this and where they can are consistently reporting record profits.
And it's interesting, you know, you talk about those grants they hand out, and you know, I know this came up, I think we had a kind of a dust up over the Barry steam plant, but what I learned, the way that the power company, at least Alabama Power, garners support is that they will just do a, you know, if you need a scoreboard at your ballpark or I don't know, help with getting utilities for a new business or what. I mean, they would do these like kind of community investment things, and it would really win them favor with the local power structure. And there were never any questions about when it comes to rates and what you're paying per kilowatt hour or whatever. It was that they were doing their part in the community. And that was sort of kind of papering over any gripes people had about what was going on.
Correct. And we would be all for them doing that out of their record profits.
Yeah. And so this, I would have to imagine, Representative, and I don't know what their books say, but they are a player in public affairs. They just are. They've always been. They've always been a very powerful force.
In every aspect of every community, they have paid employees that they're in everything, which is great. We like that. But they need to do that on their nickel, not on the ratepayers.
Yeah, so it just seems like there's a lot of, I don't want to call it bloat or whatever, but it maybe it is, but there's a lot at the top there that we're not getting the best, I guess, deal possible for the consumer.
No, and of course, we need to take care of people are literally struggling, deciding between, you know, medicines, food, and utilities. And it's just insane when we look at our neighboring states and they're paying a good deal less than we are. And even the people that are on TVA are paying considerably less. And we do, we want to be able to recruit the jobs of these to Alabama, but these industries look at everything, and energy cost is a big concern.
Let me ask you.
You can go go ahead.
Sorry, I hate to keep interrupting you. And look at the places where there is TVA, and you know that's the power electricity generator. Let's say, and just compare Huntsville to Gadsden. where you do have an Alabama power footprint. But I mean, I know there's other factors at play here, but it's not hard to, like, just the simple correlation between the lower utility rates with TVA versus Alabama power and the differences in the sort of, you know, like you say, industrial development in the two.
Yeah, it's very concerning. And at least the people in my district have made it crystal clear to me that they're tired of it and they want something done. So that's where this legislation came from, is I work for the people. And it's really the other bill kind of just brought it front and center to everybody's attention that, hey, something's broken here and we want it fixed.
Isn't that something that they push in one direction and it seems like the pushback is heading, at least for now, quite in the opposite direction?
Right. And then there's that recording of that we've all heard of power company lobbyists that were, so we're, that's tainted that whole legislation there and really giving people a bad taste in their mouth about it, where we were being told one thing and believing that. And then we're hearing tape that's not the case. Apparently they were very concerned with who they think is going to win the election.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's a coincidence, and this is just me speculating, that they wait till 2 weeks after qualifying for partisan elections for the primary to drop this bill. It just sort of, like you said, you and I were talking earlier, it came out of nowhere, but even the timing within the session was suspect to me.
Well, I am hoping that, you know, the sponsor of the bill and everybody was with pure intention, but because sometimes we get led astray by different entities. There's some powerful forces that, you know, that come on Montgomery, and sometimes we don't get the full story because you've got some really quality people in Montgomery that, you know, the talent, some of that is second to none, but sometimes we get fed bad information, and that's what I'm hoping was the case here, that just simply we may not have gotten all the facts, you know, up front. So it does, and I haven't talked to the sponsors, see, you know, now after that tape came out with the power company talking on it, if it's changed his view on it, but I have to believe that he had pure intentions on it. You know, because there was a case over in Georgia where some Democrats had been funded by some in special interests, was a concern, and so I'm having to believe that's where this came from. That it was pure honest intentions, and maybe those got hijacked.
Let me say this about
because they
that.
They make a good argument.
They
and,
do,
and
but
his legislation was going to have rate hearings in it. But my thought was, let's just not go there with all that. Let's just have the rate hearings anyway. And, oh, by the way, while we're at it, let's just take care of these other components so they can't use those in determining, you know, the rates, where the power company keeps spending money. I just don't understand why a monopoly needs to advertise to promote itself everywhere.
In Georgia, you have the possibility of Democrats winning statewide elections. You don't have that here. So it was hard for me. It was a hard sell for me to think that maybe the George Soros would come play in an Alabama Republican primary. I don't know, but it was a hard sell for me when that was the justification, knowing we haven't elected, aside from Doug Jones in 17, you have to go all the way back to like 2008 and Lucy Baxley on the Public Service Commission to find where a Democrat's won statewide.
It would be difficult, but if enough dollars come into play, it could happen. And I am told now that some of our public service commissioners have taken PAC money that does tie to George Soros. I was talking to one of the candidates the other day, and he was pointing that out to me, that it already is here, that some of he was talking about one of his opponents had taken $700,000, and that some of that money was there. But enough money, and another problem we have in Alabama is, I'm like you, I don't believe a Democrat can win statewide, but we do get infiltrated with a few people that have an R by their name, and they're totally in name only.
Which is a whole, like, that's a whole other discussion, getting Democrats out of the Republican primaries and, you know, that any kind of Democrat influence out of that. But I'm a long
advocate for that because the party platforms are night and day difference. And that is a concern. And I was talking with the Speaker of the House just last week about the potential of closing our primaries, and he is open to that. We had a discussion just last week about trying to maybe do something similar to what Florida's done.
Right.
But he was open to that, and I was glad to hear that. We sat there at lunch last week and discussed it a little bit to talk about it, because this has been something that has been on my heart for years, and I've talked to several party chairs over the years to see, you know, that there's hasn't been a strong consensus for it, but I do believe that it is time. Democrats nominate Democrats and Republicans nominate Republicans, and people think the primaries are elections, but they're actually nominations. It's just the party nominating their candidate to go forward.
Well,
I would never vote in a Democrat primary, but we know that a lot of Democrats have voted in Republican primaries, and it happens over and over and over.
Now, yeah.
So I would advocate for closing those.
But that's something even you've seen in your local district, where in, I guess, going back from probably even, let's start with the 80s and Reagan, but that point forward, and Shelby was the big one in the 90s, but there's still, you know, for we had this run there where you had these Democrats who decided it was more beneficial politically to run as a Republican. And
It was political expediency,
right?
There's no doubt. And the days of party switches, honestly, is over. I don't think the party's going to really be welcoming party switchers with open arms anymore, because, man, if you've gone through all the left-wing wacko insanity that is literally trying to destroy this nation, destroy law and order, those days are over. I mean, there's night and day. One party, you know, celebrates life. What made me Republican before I knew what I was is my mother raised me to be pro-life. Every life is precious, created by God. There are absolutely no exceptions to that. And in my first election, my wife and I, we came of age and were able to vote the first time in Reagan's second term in 1984. And I haven't looked back since. I didn't know I was a Republican in 1984, but as I developed and learned and researched, diehard, you cut me, and I bleed Republican. I've been on our local executive committee here in Etowah County since 1994. I've been on the state committee for many, many years as well.
Representative, we got to get out of here, but thanks for making time for us this morning, walking us through your proposal, and looking forward to talking about it more in the future.
Hey, thanks so much. Great to be on with you.
Thank you. State Representative Mac Butler there. We got to get a time out of here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.